In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Father's Day, fathers. Now let's get on to the sermon. The Christian faith is a mystery. The Christian faith is something beyond the ability of human reason to grasp. It is a mystery revealed to God, revealed by God rather to us through the Holy Scriptures, as the Holy Spirit instructs us through those scriptures, but most importantly, revealed to us in the incarnation of His Son, Jesus Christ, the one whom the Catechism teaches is begotten by God from all eternity and born of the Virgin Mary here in time. So, you have to be willing to confess a mystery when you confess the Christian faith. Maybe the Athanasian Creed, which we just confessed, had you scratching your head, wondering, what does all this technical language mean? What is it all about? Why do we spend 5 minutes saying this thing that is some 33 verses long? Well, the creeds were formulated to address error in the Christian church, to establish a boundary between false teaching and the true biblical teaching. And most importantly, the creeds were formulated so that our faith could be centered, as the Bible teaches, upon Jesus Christ, God made man, the one who says of himself, "No one comes to the Father except through me." The one who says of himself that he is the way to the Father, that he is the truth of the Father incarnate, that he is the life of the Father extended to us poor, miserable sinners who would otherwise perish eternally. Mystery, the mystery of the Holy Trinity. We acknowledge that mystery and confess that mystery at the very beginning of our divine service. When I, as a minister of the word in this place, say, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," and you, the baptized, respond, "Amen." You see, this mystery of the Holy Trinity interacts us in our baptism into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity, which exists in relationship eternally between the three persons of the Godhead, a family, you could say, receives us into this relationship in our baptism. You, the baptized, have relationship with the one true God. You, the baptized, have come to the Father through the Son, as the Holy Spirit works through the Word and through the sacraments to bring you through the Son to God the Father so that you can confess Him as Father. Baptism is something vitally important. And in today's gospel reading, our Lord tells the disciples, following His resurrection, what they are to do. And through the disciples, He tells the church of all generations what she is to do as well. Listen again to the 5 verses of the gospel reading. "Now the 11 disciples, minus Judas, went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them." This mountain is probably Mount Tabor. which is assumed to be the mountain of the transfiguration. So here, if that's the case, on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured, where the glory of his divine nature transfigured his human nature, here the glorified, resurrected Christ appears to his disciples to instruct them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And the word for worship can mean bow down before him. But some doubted. What that means, some doubted, we aren't exactly sure. It could mean that they doubted the reality of their experience. Hey, he was dead and buried. Are we sure we aren't having an hallucination here? Well, it wasn't an hallucination because, as we heard during the Easter season, Jesus showed himself tangibly, visibly to his disciples. He took fish and ate of it. He took bread and ate of it. It was a real human being who had been restored to life through the resurrection. But maybe the doubt could have been something along these lines. Jesus is going to tell us something important. Jesus is going to give us our marching orders. And I don't think we're equal to it. I don't think we can carry it out. After all, Peter denied knowing him. He denied 3 times with a curse that he even knew Jesus. And the rest of us, we ran away. Maybe we aren't equal to the task he's going to give us. At any rate, whatever it was, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is according to not merely his divine nature as God from all eternity, but according to his human nature as one conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to this God-man, Jesus Christ. He rules over all things in creation. Now, we tend to put our faith and our hope in political figures, and that is not merely a weakness and failing of us Americans. It is all around the world. But all authority in heaven and on earth has not been given to the President of the United States, or to Vladimir Putin, or the leader of any other country. Jesus has all authority. And it is as the one who has all authority that he tells the disciples what to do. "Going, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This is the last thing in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus tells his disciples. Go. Go because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's why we baptize. That is exactly why we proclaim God's word, striving to do it faithfully here at Mount Olive. That is why we have Sunday school classes and adult Bible classes. That is why we are having vacation Bible school this week, because all authority has been given to Jesus, because Jesus sends his church out among all nations to proclaim the gospel and to bring people, poor, lost, miserable, dead sinners into relationship with the living God through the gospel proclaimed, through holy baptism. And for those who have been baptized and instructed through the Holy Supper of Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. In the Old Testament reading, the creation account from Genesis, we had the account of God creating the heavens and the earth, all the creatures that inhabit this world, and the first man and the first woman, and thus our human race. In the Old Testament reading, we have the first hint of the Holy Trinity in the Scriptures. We have God the Father who created the heavens and the earth. We have the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. And we have God saying, God speaking, God saying the word, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made through Him. Everything that has been made by this Word of God. You have the image in creation of the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters, just as you have that same thing expressed at the baptism of our Lord, where the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and He sends the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove upon Jesus who is in the waters. And thus it is in your baptism. You were plunged into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in those baptismal waters for the forgiveness of sins. God the Father said of you, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, baptized into my name." And the Holy Spirit came upon you, washing you of your sins, for the sake of Jesus' death on the cross, and bringing you to faith, even though you were just a little baby, if you were baptized as a little baby, even though you were unable to articulate the faith. Hey, it's God who creates faith, not us human beings. It is God who gives life, not us poor dead sinners. It is God who does the work of the gospel to save us through His Son. It is not something we do ourselves. And in that baptismal water, you became a new creation in Christ. The old had passed away. Behold, all things were made new. And it didn't happen just for you alone. It's been happening since the very beginning of the Holy Christian Church, since the disciples began observing Jesus' commands, proclaiming the gospel, baptizing, teaching, instructing, celebrating the Holy Supper, and it has been going on for nearly 2,000 years. People from every nation being united with the triune God through baptism, receiving the gifts of salvation and forgiveness from this triune God, celebrating the sacrament of the altar according to Jesus' command. And so our responsibility as those who have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is to observe all that Jesus has commanded us. It's in His Word. It's to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is impossible for us poor sinners. But here's what that love looks like. We have no other gods. We do not misuse the name of the Lord our God, but call upon it in every need. Pray, praise, and give thanks. We remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, together to hear the word of our Lord and to be built up and strengthened by that word, to receive the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood that He gives us, and then to instruct others in the mysteries of this faith. It's what he's given us to do. It's as simple as that. In doing this, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, as God has loved us in Jesus Christ. And here's a promise in the very last verse of the Gospel of Matthew, the very last verse that echoes an early verse in St. Matthew, where the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then Matthew comments, "All this took place to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And here's that very Emmanuel, that very God with us, in the last verse of Matthew's gospel, saying, "Behold, I, God in the flesh, behold, I, the second person of the Holy Trinity, behold, I, the Redeemer of the world, behold, I, the one who died for the forgiveness of all of your sins on the cross, behold, I, the one who am risen, the one who has been glorified, I am with you always to the very end of the age, when the new creation in all of its fullness, all of its glory, all of its entirety will be ushered in at the reappearance of Christ." So the church is not alone in her task. Emmanuel is with her. Emmanuel instructing, teaching, guiding, caring for. God with you, God with me, God with all of us together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.